your Bibles tonight, the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 1. Jeremiah, chapter number 1. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. And he comes on the scene at a time when there was great tragedy in the land. The nation of Israel had rebelled and rebelled and rebelled and turned their backs on God. And Jeremiah comes as a preacher of, really a preacher of doom, but at a time when the message of God and God's faithfulness and God's judgment must be preached. God used him in a mighty way. Jeremiah is the weeping prophet. Do not mistake weeping or a tender heart with weakness. Do not ever do that. It is actually an evidence of strength to be willing to have a tender heart. And he was a weeper. He was the weeping prophet. He was sensitive, but he was not strengthless. He was compassionate, but he was not compromising. And God uses Jeremiah in a very special way. If you look with me, Jeremiah chapter number 1, we'll read the first few verses together. And I want to share this passage of Scripture with you and this man, Jeremiah, tonight. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee, to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. And this is the introduction to the book of Jeremiah, his own words. He gives us an autobiography of the day that God called him to preach. God called him to serve and to be the prophet to Israel. And God does a great work. Jeremiah. When we come to this passage of Scripture, we think of the man Jeremiah. I'm reminded of a verse the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And we meet up a man, Jeremiah, an unlikely candidate, but somebody that God would use in a mighty way to declare his word to a troubled land in a troubled time. And God would use Jeremiah in a mighty way. God uses Jeremiah to pen his words in God's holy word, the book of Jeremiah, the book of Lamentations. And God uses this prophet in a mighty way. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. You know what? I'm encouraged when I read this passage of Scripture. When I consider the man Jeremiah, I'm encouraged because I understand that we are tools in the hand of God, and God can use us all, and we should be willing to be used of God. A tool, a weapon, a vessel that God uses for His glory. Let's learn some things from Jeremiah tonight. Jeremiah. Let's consider, number one, Jeremiah's call. Jeremiah's call. The Bible says in verse 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. We don't have a whole lot of biography regarding Jeremiah, but we can see some things clearly in his introduction that God began to work in his heart. And when God began to work in his heart, God spoke to him and let him know a few things about himself, about God, and about Jeremiah. And so the Bible says in verse 5, his call, calling Jeremiah, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." We should take great comfort in the all-knowingness of God. He is omniscient. He knows everything. If you see that written down, I don't mind repeating myself because I want to teach. He is omnipresent. Omni means all. He's all present. He is omniscient. Omni, if you see it, O-M-N-I, and then the next word is science. That's how I remembered it years and years ago. I want to know what that word meant. He's all-knowing. I connect the word science with knowledge, and he is all-knowing. God is all-knowing. And he says to Jeremiah, "Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." He says, "I've known you. I've always known you. I knew you before your parents knew you. I knew you before you were conceived. I've always known you." I have no problem with a God that knows everything. As a matter of fact, I'm comforted by it. He says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee." You know what's exciting to me? God has chosen to use people to do his work. "Before I formed thee in the womb, I sanctified thee." The word sanctified means set apart. And Jeremiah was set apart for the work of the Lord. Now here, I want to remind you of something. Never shortchange yourself in the work of the Lord. God's always known you, and he has called you and set you apart to do his work. God's called some folks to preach. There's no doubt in my mind that God called me to preach, and I'm glad he did. To explain and try to put into words exactly what it felt and what it was like to be called to preach is something I have a hard time doing. But God called me to preach, and I got the same advice most preacher boys did. If you can do anything else, do it. And I couldn't. And God dealt in my heart. I'm thankful I didn't run from the call to preach. I wanted to do what God wanted me to do. I'm thankful for the emphasis of a church like the Chilhowee Baptist Church when I was a teenager, and the teaching and the preaching that said and was very clear about this very thing, that if you will choose God's will for your life, you will choose God's best for your life. And I'm thankful for that. And so if God wanted me to preach when I was a teenage boy, I was glad to be a preacher. There are people I loved and loved me who said, "You know, Cody, you may want to think about doing something else. What if this preaching thing doesn't work out?" I said, "Well, I don't think God's going to fail me." And now I have a joke. You know, sometimes I paint or fix stuff or do odds and end jobs, and I like to do those kind of things. It's my golf. I don't really play golf anymore. I really don't hardly hunt anymore. But my pastime is to kind of fix stuff and do things like that. And I always joke and say, you know, if this preaching thing doesn't work out, I could always go to painting or something like that, truck driving or something. You know, the bottom line is God called me to preach, and I'm thankful for that. But that doesn't exalt me to some special place in God's world, in the body of Christ, because all the members of the body of Christ play a vital, valuable role. And God has known you before you even born or conceived, and God has sanctified you, and he has a purpose for your life, and we should determine with all that is in us to know and do the will of God. Don't be spooked away by the notion of trying to know the will of God. It's not spooky at all. Knowing and doing the will of God is something that we do on a daily basis. And as we obey God today and obey God tomorrow and obey God the next day, then we know and do God's will. You don't have to worry about it. All you have to do is be willing to obey God today and obey God tomorrow. And you know what's going to happen? God's going to make his way plain and clear. You don't have to wring your hands and fret. As a matter of fact, you can just calmly rest in the Lord. Because when you obey God, he leads us in plain paths. Isn't it wonderful to have a shepherd that leads us in plain paths? Jeremiah gives testimony God's known everything about me, and God has sanctified me. God has called me. He says in verse number 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. The word ordained, it means gave. God gave Jeremiah as a prophet to the nations. God gave Jeremiah as a prophet. What's God given you to this world to do? I'm encouraged by that. I do not mind one bit that I am a possession of the Most High God, and He can give me to whatever He wants to give me to. And when we get to the place where we accept the fact that I belong to God, He's my Creator, my Savior, and we are willing to be given by our God to whatever it is He's called us to do, then we can be free. I speak to our teenagers and our children, the formative years of your life. Don't be afraid of what God has for you. If you want to be afraid what's going to happen if you choose your own path and leave God out. That's something worthy of fear. And never fear that you might miss something because you've committed your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jeremiah was called by God, and he was commissioned by God, and he was sanctified by God, who knew everything and had Jeremiah's best in mind. His call was not something that was emotional. It was something that was rooted in the perfect will of God, and God called him. We need to answer the call. If God's calling young men to preach, then by all means surrender to His will and be willing to be preachers. If God's calling you to be a missionary, be a missionary. Hey, listen, if God's calling you to be a mailman, submit and do God's will. There's nothing wrong with that. I remember as a teenager, I'm sorry, not as a teenager, but as a youth director at the Temple Baptist Church, I was really wanting to speak to our young people and kind of give them an idea of how I felt. And I asked them one time, I said, if I had the big group of teenagers together, and I said, guys, do you think that if every one of you surrendered to be preachers and missionaries, if I were able to convince every one of you to be preachers and missionaries and surrender to be preachers and missionaries, do you think that I'd be proud of myself? And someone went, because some kids get the notion that it's the pastor's desire that every kid is a preacher or a missionary. No. Preachers and missionaries need other people to help them be preachers and missionaries. I've been living for many years on the donations of God's people. I get a paycheck from the Chihuahua Baptist Church, and I work for it, and I'm glad to. And I got a paycheck for 10 years as the pastor at the Boiling Springs Baptist Church. But I want you to know something. I didn't get it from other preachers and missionaries. I got it from faithful people who God called to do other things. Now, look, if God's calling you to be a preacher, you better obey. If God's calling you to be a missionary, obey Him. But there's no second-class citizens in the work of God. Charles Spurgeon said, if I were called to be a missionary, I would not stoop to be a king. And I say to you, if God calls you to be a doctor, do not stoop to be a preacher. If God calls you to be a preacher, do not stoop to be anything else. God's will for your life is perfect. And you can know His will, you can have His will, you can experience His will if you'll just determine with the Lord's help to obey Him day by day. Jeremiah, as he determined to live for the Lord, was led to God's perfect will. He was called. He was called to be a prophet. The Bible says in Romans 8:29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. God called him. God had a plan for his life. I'm glad God has a plan for our lives. By the way, there are no useless lives in God's plan. God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your life. Determine, with the Lord's help, to find and do His will. Answer His call. Jeremiah received the call. Now look what happens next. The call, one. Number two, the excuse. How many of you ever offered an excuse to God why you can't serve Him? Shame on us all. The Bible says, here was Jeremiah's excuse. The Bible says in verse number 6, "Then said I, Ah, Lord God." You see the exclamation point? "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." Evidently, Jeremiah was quite young. And he looks at the Lord as the Lord's working his heart, calling him to preach. He says, "I can't do this. Lord God, I can't do this. I'm a child." I want to encourage you to know something. Your excuse may be that you're too young. Your excuse may be that you're too old. Your excuse may be that you're too dumb. Your excuse may be that you're too ugly or too pretty. Too smart, too weak, too strong. But I'll just have you know something. There is no excuse as to why you cannot do God's will for your life. He said, "I'm too young." I'm reminded, and I love the verse of Scripture. Paul speaking to Timothy, his son of the faith. He said, "Let no man despise thy youth." Hey, look, it's not too early as a child to begin carrying the gospel to the lost. And it's not too late as an old person to begin living and doing and discerning the will of God. Don't give any excuses. Paul said, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and spirit and faith and purity." Who does God use? God uses old people and young people and beautiful people and not so beautiful people and thin people and fat people. And God uses people. And don't give him any excuses. Jeremiah's excuse was, "I'm a child." That didn't stop God from using Samuel. You remember Samuel? He's just a boy. God calling him. Didn't stop God from using Timothy. It didn't stop God from using Joseph, the young man, the coat of many colors, a prisoner in Egypt. It didn't stop God from using David, the least of his brothers, the shepherd boy. It didn't stop God from using Daniel, a young man, a slave in a foreign land, or Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They didn't stop God from using them, their age. God uses people. Do not offer him excuses. Just be willing to serve. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think that anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." Look, God is your sufficiency. You may be discouraged about the state or condition of your life at this moment. It may be your economics. It may be your health. But I'll have you know something. God can work perfectly through every circumstance of life. God can use your sickness and your weakness to bring glory to Himself because He is all sufficient. When's the prime of life? Some people look at me and they say, "You're in the prime of life. I'm 39. I'm healthy. I've got strength and opportunity." But I'll have you know something. The prime of life is any time in life when you're in the center of God's will. And your opportunity to serve God is not over until you've breathed your last breath on this planet and came face to face with Christ your Savior. Oh, it's wonderful to be saved. It's wonderful to be used of God. Do not offer God excuses. Only offer Him yourself. Jeremiah was called of God. We consider, number one, the call. We consider, number two, the excuse. Number three, let's consider the commission. The commission. The Bible says in verse 7, "But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." God had a work for Jeremiah to do. And I just wonder, are you willing to be the hands and feet of Jesus? Are you willing to be the mouth of Christ and speak for the Lord? We must. There was a commission. There was a commission to Jeremiah. There's a commission to the church. There's a commission to you. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let's hear and heed our commission. Jeremiah was commissioned to the Lord. I love what Jesus promised he would do for Jeremiah in regards to his commission. Thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. He says, you're going to do what I want you to do. And as long as you do what God calls you to do, you're going to be glad. And God's going to bless. The call, the excuse, the commission. Number four, the encouragement. How many of you have ever been in a situation in life and you thought, I don't know how in the world I'm going to do this? I want you to know that God stands ready to encourage and help you. I look at things constantly and consistently that in my life I do not have the capacity to do, but God's called me to. He's faithful. Look what the Lord says to Jeremiah. The Bible says in verse number 8, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee, to deliver thee, saith the Lord. What did he say? I am with thee. This is a recurring theme over and over in the Bible. Who knows how many times I've mentioned it as I've preached like 100 characters in the last 2 years. But the Lord, when he wants to encourage his people, he just reminds them simply, I am with thee. He is omnipresent. He's everywhere present. He is with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said to Jeremiah, don't worry. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. Now look, take this literally, folks, because it is. Take it literally because it's as real as I'm with you in this room tonight. God is with you. Always with you. He won't leave you. So he says to Jeremiah, he says, Jeremiah, I know I'm calling you to do something that's bigger than yourself. And had Jeremiah known at this moment all that he would deal with and all he would face, no doubt he would have been extremely overwhelmed. But God said, don't worry. Every step you take, I'll be with you. I am with you. He's with you. God is faithful. The encouragement that God gives us is, I'm with you. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Did you hear that? The Lord is my helper. What do you have to fear if you got the help of God? Do you think that your problem's big to God? No. But he cares about the burdens you bear, and he's always with you. Jeremiah, as he faced the ministry that God called him to, God sent encouragement. He said, I am with thee. The equipment. Number five, the equipment. How did the Lord equip him? The Bible says in verse 9, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. What did the Lord do for Jeremiah? Jeremiah was given the ability that he needed in order to complete the will of God. It's fascinating to me to see that God has so perfectly designed the body of Christ, the church, that we fitly join together and we have a purpose. Now look, not everyone is the mouthpiece. How many of you are honest enough to say, if I called and said, I want you to stand up behind the pulpit and give a presentation to the church next Sunday morning on Mother's Day, that would mortify you? How many of you are honest to say that? Good. Looks like my job's not in terrible jeopardy. Jason, he wouldn't mind. He'd get up here and preach right now. He's got to preach at him a mile wide, and that's good. Well, that's just a sign that that's not what God called you to do. Some of you, many of you, have beautiful voices and can sing for the glory of God, and God's designed you to do that. Some of you, God gives special ability with children. Some of you, God has given special ability to earn and provide and support. Some of you, God has given extra wonderful abilities with children and ability to fix or encourage or do. I don't know exactly what they all are, but we all work together. It's wonderful. And God says, I need a prophet that can preach. And he touched the mouth of Jeremiah. And God equips us to do his work. God equips us to do his work. The devil wants us to look down our noses and consider some other part of the body less important. But you try to be a mouth without any legs and stand and preach, and you can't. You try to say something with your mouth without eyes and the ability to read, and you won't. And God says that the church, the body of Christ, are fitly joined together, and we should be encouraging the other members to do the work that God's called them to do. You see, a call to serve the Lord is also a promise that he will equip you. He equips us. He's faithful. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do to me. The equipment. Finally, number six, the work. Look what God called Jeremiah to do. This becomes more specific to the area of the prophet and the preacher. The Bible says the work that he's called me to do is this. Verse number 10. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. What did God give Jeremiah to do? Jeremiah had a tough work to do. The work he was going to do began with rooting out. He was going to root out the junk, root out the mess, to root out, to pull down. He said, the Lord said, there's trouble in the ground, there's trouble in the air, root it out, pull it down, destroy. There's a bunch of filth that needs to be taken care of, throw down. When I get in my mind these words, I imagine a big thicket. And in that thicket, you have roots and you have vines and you have harmful critters. So the work that he was going to do, though it was a spiritual work, is pictured by this. He says, you're going to root it out, pull it down, destroy it, and throw down. And then, after you've cleared the thicket, he says, then I want you to build and to plant. To build and to plant. There's six things here that the Lord mentions. It's interesting to me that God has made it clear that the preacher's job is actually two-thirds negative. If we're going to have two-thirds of six, that means four of these things are negative. Root out, pull down, destroy, throw down. And two of these things must be positive. He says you're going to clear out the mess. And then the positive is this, you're going to build and plant. I think it's so wonderful that the work that God has commissioned the prophet, the preacher, to do has never changed. The Apostle Paul wrote to his son of the faith, Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 1, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. What was the preaching? The preaching was two-thirds negative. Reprove, rebuke, as one-third positive, exhort. You tear it down and clean it up, and then you put back what God wants and what's right. And God called Jeremiah to do his work. And God calls us to do his work. And we should determine with the Lord's help to be willing to tear down the things that are wrong and rotten and sinful and put in its place truth, the seed, the Word of God, that it might grow and flourish and thrive. God is faithful. Old Jeremiah, what a guy. We read his book. He was faithful. You know, it's interesting, and I don't mind to say it because it's just true. Jeremiah's life was not an easy existence. It wasn't. They call him the weeping prophet for a reason. Because Jeremiah in his entire life saw great discouragement and trouble and condemnation and judgment. But Jeremiah obeyed the Lord. I often like to think about these Bible characters in this way. Jeremiah lived literally thousands of years ago. 3,000-4,000 years ago. And there was a length of time in Jeremiah's life that was tough. His heart was broken, and he was a weeping prophet for a fact. Like Jesus, he came into his own received him not. Like Jesus, he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. But I love to think about old Jeremiah. 70, 80, 90, 100 years, I don't know for sure how long he lived. But he'd testify that over the course of the last 4,000 years that he's been in glory, in the presence of God, that every effort that he ever made for God and his glory in obedience to the call of God was well worth it. And God proved himself faithful. Folks, I'll have you know something. We're not promised joy without sorrow. We're not promised peace without pain. But I'll tell you what we are promised. We're promised grace sufficient, joy unspeakable, peace, supply, sufficiency. So we do the will of God. And beyond this life, we're promised eternity with Christ. Hey, look, you'll never regret one day you live for Jesus. And Jeremiah stands as a testimony of the fact that the right thing to do is to answer the call of God and fill the spot that he has prepared for you in his work and for his glory. Jeremiah, if we were to interview him today, he'd say, "It sure was sweet to serve the Lord. He's faithful." And God promised he'd never leave him. God encouraged him, equipped him. And he did the work. He did the rooting out. He did the pulling down. He did the destroying. He did the throwing down. And he did the building and planting. And God blessed this man, Jeremiah. I want to follow in his footsteps. And I just want to continue to be the child of God that's willing to do the will of God, no matter what it is. May God help us.